Hey everybody, Lauren here, and welcome to episode 33 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In today's episode, Katie and I talk to our good friend, Michelle Whipple, who we lovingly call Whip. We talk about grit and perseverance and passion for long-term goals. Whip explains Angela Duckworth's concept of grit and what that means. So whether you have a really big goal that you're working on now, or you've had struggle with sticking with a goal and really persevering, you will definitely get some great nuggets of information out of this interview. Michelle is the Senior Assistant Director of Assessment, Student Development, and Fitness at Purdue Recreational Wellness, and Katie and I's previous boss turned best friend. You guys are going to love her passion for this topic. All right, let's get started.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Whip, we're so excited to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, so when you asked me to talk about something on your podcast, two kind of things came to mind. One was grit, and that's what I want to talk about today. And I came across grit when I like to watch TED Talks, and Angela Duckworth, who's a researcher and professor of psychology at the University of Pennsylvania, really captured my attention with this idea that there's two things in her research that can make you successful either in school or in your professional life or in your personal life, and that's talent and effort. And for her, talent counts once, where effort counts twice. And that just appealed to me and spoke to me because I'm all about effort. If I work really hard at something and if I set a goal, I can achieve it if I put the effort in.
Kind of like that saying, what is it? Effort will beat talent, right? I forget how it goes, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, not always. Like, if I want to be an NBA all-star and I have zero talent in basketball, like, literally, this is the truth. I cannot dribble without looking down at the ball. And, you know, that's important to look where you're going and dribbling. I probably won't be an NBA all-star, even if I practice morning, lunch, and night. But if I have a little talent and I work really hard and I practice a lot, there's a good chance that I may be on my high school basketball team or on my college basketball team if I work extra hard. But I probably won't be an NBA All-Star if I don't have, you know, a bit of talent. Maybe quite.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense.
But I like the idea that if you have some talent, if you work really hard against someone who has the same amount of talent as you, you can perform better, achieve more if you put more work into it. Seems pretty simple, but her theory kind of explains kind of what goes into all of that perseverance, that persistence, and kind of what's required in order to be a gritty, as she says, kind of person.
What's the first thing that is required?
Okay, so she kind of has this definition that's a science-y definition. So I'll read that one first, and then I'll tell you what her simple definition is. So the science-y definition is grit is a positive, non-cognitive personality trait based on an individual's passion for a long-term goal, but coupled with a powerful motivation to achieve that goal. Now, to break it down simply, you could say that grit is perseverance and passion for a long-term goal. So what does that look like? That could be finishing what you started, staying committed to your goals over the long term, working hard even after you experience failure, even when you feel like quitting, sticking to a project or activity for more than just a few weeks. So for me, when I think about that, I think, okay, so there's talent and then there's skill. Now, when I first heard of talent and skill, I didn't really think, you know, like, what's the difference? It sounds the same to me, right? What do y'all think? Talent and skill, do they sound the same?
Talent to me seems more natural, and skill seems more of something you could develop. I guess you can develop talent too, but yeah, talent to me comes off as something that you have more naturally.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So I didn't see that at first, but when I looked it up, talent is your natural ability, where skill is the ability acquired through practice and training. And Angela, in her talks, she gives the example of Will Smith, and you should Google it. Just Google Will Smith and grit and success, and his example is hilarious. He says that I never really view myself as particularly talented. He says, where I excel is that I have ridiculous and sickening work ethic. he says, let me give you an example. He says, the only thing I see as distinctly different about me is I'm not afraid to die on a treadmill. You might have more talent than me. You might be smarter than me. But if we get on a treadmill together, there's two things. one, you're getting off first, or two, I'm going to die.
I love that.
And I love that. It's kind of like that competitive spirit that I have, you know, this ridiculous work ethic. And if I try really hard and I have a little talent, I can achieve whatever I want to achieve. And now that's a silly example, but it kind of gets across the point about effort. So remember, it's a combination of not just persistence, but grit is passion plus persistence. So with passion, there's a lot of misconceptions about grit that it's just about trying harder or not giving up, but it's also about, you know, your passion. You have to be passionate about something to do it 24/7 for long term. And really gritty people, Angela says, have two things. One is you have something that you're very interested in. So kind of think back down memory lane, you know, what did you love doing as a kid? What could you do forever? And then the second thing is, you know, what's your purpose that goes into your passion? You know, what's your purpose? What's the greater mission in your work? Who does it serve? Maybe your values play into it. Maybe your value or your ultimate purpose is to help people be their best selves. And I can see, you know, you two having that as your kind of purpose, in my opinion. But those things kind of play into what your passion is. And if you can overlap what your interests are with kind of your purpose or values in life, that's a good place to start kind of discovering, you know, what your passion is. Of course, they have the other piece, the perseverance. But for me, passion, I was like, I'm in this crossroads now in my life where I've been doing fitness forever and teaching fitness and training athletes and personal training. And now I'm in more of an administrative role. And I'm like, wait, where did my passion go? I have the work ethic, but, you know, am I still in alignment with my passion? So it's kind of like starting over in this new role.
Let's backtrack a little bit on that. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your journey from how you got into fitness and then how you got to where you are now?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I did everything. And I think that's really a cool way to find your passion is that you just try everything. Like everything's a buffet in life. I did gymnastics. I did swimming. I did drama class. My mom put me in pageants. Don't even ask. Texas, big hair at 8 years old. That was me. Singing, modeling, cheerleading, volleyball, track, basketball. And then I finally did softball. My dad was like, I'm not paying another registration fee. You're doing softball. And I did softball from like a kid, 8 years old, for the Yellow Bees or Yellow Trackers, whatever it was, all the way up until college. And I played third base and outfield. And what I found out about myself is that, yes, I love softball, but I discovered that my passion was being a motivator and trying really hard at something and perfecting it and becoming an expert at fielding ground balls at third base and being a leadoff hitter and being able to bunt with precision. So being a motivator really came and boiled up to the surface through softball. I was the team captain, not because I was the best. I was not the best, right? But I was the best cheerleader. I sat in the dugout. I led all those cheers. I led the pre-game cheer where we got in a circle and we threw our hands in the air, you know, and I
chattered
on the field. And so that's kind of how I got involved with sports and finding out that, you know, my passion is being a motivator. And that led me to pursuing a career in fitness, like group fitness. Someone didn't show up one day when I was working at the YMCA in college as a part-time job. And they said, hey, can you teach this body sculpt class? And I said, I have never exercised to music, but sure. So I went in there and I taught it. I was counting to eight, but not to the music. And that's kind of how I got involved with group fitness. And I love that combination of music and motivation and people in a group cheering together and working towards the same goal. And that led me to 8 years of working at Purdue in group fitness management and teaching instructors to be future teachers.
I just keep thinking about you counting to the eights, but not to the beat. And that makes me laugh so hard. If you teach group fitness, you get it. But if you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about, go to a group fitness class and it'll make a little more sense.
We're doing three sets of eight. Are you good?
I love, though, that you've had some time to kind of look back on your softball career and see how what you loved about softball you now can love about your job. And I think that's one thing we all can do with past jobs is to like really look back and think, you know, what did I love about this job and what did I not love about that job, and try to figure out if there's a common thread.
Yeah, yeah. And what I struggled with, you know, when I moved into this new role, because as you know, I'm in this kind of assessment role and student development role, and kind of it's a long title that I have, but really what I do is tell the story of how exercise helps students perform better academically, but also just helps increase their quality of life. So it gives credibility to the work we do. So when Ginny oversees her group exercise program, she can say that, yeah, students break a sweat when they come to our exercise classes, but look at all these other things, like they're happier, they have better grades, right? We don't know if it's causing that, but we notice that some of those things occur, and so we can say there's a relationship. So my job is telling the positive story about the things we do. And I'm like, wait, is that my passion to do this? What happened to the group fitness thing where I'm motivating people? But I still know there's that link. You know, I'm still supporting and motivating students at Purdue to come and work out and to come play and recreate and join an intramural program or whatever, but it's just in a different role. And that means I need to learn new tools. Like I have to understand statistics and data analysis, and I have zero competency in those areas. So I'm taking academic classes, which means, okay, this is my passion, but you know what? I'm not very good at these things. My talent is very low. And so that's why grit spoke to me, is that I have to take classes again. I have to be a student again at 35, you know? I have to struggle and stay up late at night and read and study. And so for me, it just speaks about, yes, I have to increase my effort tenfold because my talent is really low. But I believe that I can learn, and that learning piece, believing that you can continue to learn no matter what age, is a concept called growth mindset, just the believing that you can continue learning.
I love that so much, because I think even people listening, like a lot of times we get in these roles, whether it's job or volunteer positions or just different roles in our life, where you kind of put on another hat, and it's so easy to just kind of throw it up and just say, this is stupid, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't care about this. But I love that you really, I mean, we have to kind of think, and okay, you're in this position, make the best of it and find kind of the silver lining and actually the positives that you can get from it.
Yeah. When I was doing my kind of research for this talk, I found a couple lesson plans that teachers in kind of the K through 12 age group would use to help young children, young kids understand what grit is. And so they would give them this assignment where they would have to do a perseverance walk, right? And so they have to find someone they believe is a really gritty person, someone who achieves a long-term goal, right? And they work really hard. They have to find that person and interview them. Then they have to come back to class and kind of tell their grit story or their perseverance walk. How did they persevere? And I love the questions, because it kind of, when you answer these questions, it helps you understand like what your past successes were, and it gives you motivation to continue to persevere in your current goal or whatever challenge you may be facing. So I thought that maybe we could talk about some of those questions if y'all are interested.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So the first question, there's three. The first question, and I'll read them all and then we can go back. During your life, what has been one of the biggest goals you've set and have been able to achieve? So one of the biggest goals you've set and you've been able to achieve it. The second question is, what got in the way? What obstacles or struggles did you overcome? And then the last question is, the third is, when you achieved this goal, how did it help you in your life? So any thoughts on a big goal that you achieved? What struggles got in the way? And then how did it make your life better?
For me, I instantly think of getting my RD to become a dietitian, because I kind of almost stumbled into the major. And then once I got into it, you know, I failed organic chemistry and I was like, okay, maybe this isn't for me, but I just kept going with it. And then I finally, you know, I didn't get matched for an internship, which is a huge deal in the dietetic world. And then that was kind of a setback. And then I was like, okay, I guess just keep going. And then I didn't pass my exam, not just once, but twice. And so that, when I finally passed my exam, mm-hmm. I felt like it meant even 10 times more to me to have those letters behind my name versus, like, I worked so freaking hard to to achieve that?
So the obstacles that got in the way, what would you say those were? The failing, the test?
Yeah, the setbacks that could have made it very easy to just quit then. Or the different challenges that just came up with coursework and life, you know, working and trying to study and balance everything at once.
Mm-hmm. And then now that you accomplished that goal, how do you think it made your life better?
I think it's allowed me to relate to other probably younger students who are kind of in my position, because now I've actually had a lot of people reach out to me who've been in my position, and it's kind of cool to be able to tell them, you know, look, if I can pass, you can pass, but this is what I wouldn't do, or this is what I would do.
What about you, Lauren? What's a big goal that you set and you've been able to achieve? I can think of quite a few for both of you.
I can't think of one for me. <'Cause> all...
I remember the story of Lauren showing me a push book way, way, way back when.
Yes.
And then 5 months later, achieving every goal she set.
Yeah, but I don't feel any of those are that big of goals. Like, I'm trying to remember what I even used to write back then.
Well, I think for me, just from the outside peeking into your life, whenever you started talking about the push book, I didn't even know you were interested in a career in fitness and wellness. I didn't know you were interested in a career in campus recreation. And then all of a sudden, you have a job at MIT as their fitness... what was your title? You were their fitness GA, right? Or their fitness intern?
Intern.
At MIT. Mm-hmm. So for me, that just blew my mind about your ability to, I'm passionate about this. I think I want to make this my goal. And then a few months later, not only did you get an interview, but you got the job at a prestigious university. So that, for me, it still is something that I tell others about a goal that you've set and how you can accomplish it by working hard and putting your mind to it. So I'm surprised that's not one. Set the bar so high for yourself.
Life has changed a lot since then, so maybe that's why. But yeah, no, that's so true. And at the time that all that happened, right before, I didn't think I was interested in a career in campus rec, and then it all changed in a blink of an eye, and I had to kind of scramble and figure out what to do, but it all worked out in the end. So yeah. My life is 100 times better because of that one internship. Another life in the world of biology wouldn't have been as fulfilling for me.
Yeah. What's a goal that you're working on now? Because you said your life has changed a lot. What's kind of one of your big goals that you have now?
Well, a big goal that I've had forever is to work at home on something that I'm super passionate about, but also be able to be a stay-at-home mom. So that's something I'm still working on and trying to figure out what that means, because it's not really like a detailed goal. I'm still trying to add all the details in.
Yeah. Having grit means never quitting. You can do it.
Yep. Yep. I'm definitely not giving up on this one. This one means too much to me.
Well, in your kind of pursuit of this goal, I didn't mention one thing that Angela Duckworth talks about in her grit work is deliberate practice, or kind of deliberate effort. So when she describes it, she talks about kind of a goal of running, right? Let's say you want to run a 5K. If I'm planning to run a 5K and I go out and run like a 5K route around my neighborhood, and I say that's my practice, that's my effort towards achieving this goal. Well, I can make that practice more deliberate, right? And so there's four things that you can do to make your practice or your effort more deliberate. The first thing is be intentional and precise. So set a specific goal. So instead of saying, okay, I'm going to run my usual route, maybe I'll say, okay, I'm going to run my usual route, but I'm going to get it under 14 minutes, or I'm going to get it at 14:30, right? Mm-hmm. And the next time I run, I'm going to try to get it at 14:35. So being very specific. The second thing is being 100% focused in your running. So when you're running, are you listening to a podcast, or are you focused on your running, your breathing, your technique, your form, and all that? The third thing is feedback. So are you either getting feedback from, let's say, like a heart rate monitor? Are you getting feedback from a running coach? Are you getting feedback from a friend who has some, you know, some basic understanding of running skills? However you're getting feedback, are you getting it? And then the last piece is, once you get that feedback, are you refining whatever it is you're trying to do? So are you taking that feedback and the next time you're running, you're trying to correct your elbow angle, or you're trying to keep your arms closer to your body, or you're trying to change your breathing pattern, right? Mm-hmm. So you're refining your practice with that feedback. So I think those four things kind of also speak to me as far as being intentional with my effort and not just kind of going through the motions.
So let's say it's not as clear-cut as running. I can't think of another goal, but something where how would you go about getting feedback on kind of the pace of your goal? So like Lauren's goal, for example, or Lauren, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, so let's say with your example of failing an exam. This is a clear-cut example in my mind. If you know, if you're studying for a big exam and you fail it or you don't do as well as you want, you can go back and look, what type of questions did you miss? Are they all surrounding the same topic? You could then focus more on that. So that's one way to get feedback. Can you think of another way to get feedback for other types of goals?
Yeah, so with that case, with the test, maybe you can talk to the TA for the class, the professor, go into their office hours, and, you know, research shows that students who visit their professors during office hours do better in class, and that's definitely one way to get feedback, take their feedback, and refine, you know, your performance for the next test. But I was also thinking kind of something abstract that's not sport-related. Like, if I want to be better at my job component of being an assessment person, right? Assessment means kind of testing and evaluating something that we do to make it better, right? So I need to know how to do statistics and data analysis, and I need to be a good presenter when I am training others on assessment. I need to get feedback probably from the people I'm training. So when I'm holding a meeting and teaching, you know, different assessment techniques, I might want to do some kind of survey afterwards or just kind of talk informally with some people that were in my training and kind of hear, you know, how did you receive that message today? Or did you understand the piece that I talked about, maybe like classroom assessment techniques? And I said, well, you know, maybe it was kind of over the top of my head or it just seemed complicated. So I need to do a better job of making it maybe simpler, or maybe they were bored. Like I was falling asleep. It wasn't very fun, right? So if I want people to enjoy assessment, I need to make it fun. So how can I creatively find ways to make it fun? And so getting feedback from the folks who are in my training might be another way to kind of get at that feedback part.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. That's what I was thinking of, something more abstract. But
yeah,
I guess the idea is getting some sort of feedback so you know if you're headed in the right direction, right?
Yeah. So maybe you'd get feedback from your listeners for this podcast if you're kind of your message is on point with the types of things they want to hear. And then you receive that feedback and you kind of put it into practice in the next podcast. And so it gives your participants kind of a say in the type of conversations you're having on your podcast and the type of messages and education that you're dishing out.
Yeah. Love that. Could you just quickly review those four things? One being feedback, just so people can hear them one more time.
Yeah. So in your effort, make it deliberate. The first thing you need to do to have a deliberate practice or effort is to be intentional. Be precise. So it's kind of like a SMART goal. Instead of saying, I want to squat heavy weight, instead you would be specific and say, I want to squat 95 pounds four times, right? The second thing to have deliberate effort is to be focused, be 100% focused while you're doing the thing you want to do. So if I want to be a better speaker, be a better motivational speaker at events, right? When I practice my slides and what I'm going to say, I don't want to have music on the background. I don't want to have a YouTube, you know, TED Talk playing. I want to be focused in what I'm saying and be in the moment, be present. The third thing is to have a source of feedback. Let's use that same example of me being a better presenter. Maybe I'll record myself, right? Mm-hmm. Fitness instructors and presenters use this all the time. You watch yourself and say, oh my gosh, I didn't know I did that. Wow, I didn't know I made those types of gestures. Or I'm not making eye contact with the audience. So that kind of thing. Either feedback by videotaping yourself or feedback from a professor, feedback from a coach, feedback from a friend. But get that feedback. And then the fourth thing is to have a deliberate effort and being intentional is to use that feedback. So don't just receive it, put it into practice to refine your effort. So maybe I noticed when I videotaped myself giving a talk, I noticed that I say the word or hmm, or, you know, I have this word that I keep saying over and over. To refine my practice, the next time I record myself, I'm going to, just like that, I will try and reduce the number of times I say, and there may be even some drills that you could do that you could practice reducing the number of times you say those types of things.
Yes.
But yeah, get feedback and put it into practice.
So what are some top tips that you have for someone who is wanting to develop more grit? Like, what are some quick action things that they can do today to help develop more grit?
So if you want to be a grittier person, I love that word, it's just gritty, gritty. If you want to be a grittier person, develop a fascination, a passion. Find questions, activities, things that fascinate you, things that keep your attention, things that keep you Googling for more information, right? The second thing is strive to improve in that passion every day. No matter what you do, watch a TED Talk, listen to a podcast. If it's an activity, do a little piece, a little chunk every day. How can you carve time out of your day to improve in that area? The third thing is, and I think this is important, remind yourself of how you fit into the bigger picture. What's the greater purpose of the goal you're setting out to achieve? Mm-hmm. So the most gritty people see their ultimate goals as being deeply connected to something outside themselves. And the fourth and last thing I would say is what I spoke of earlier is adopting that growth mindset and believing that you can continue to learn no matter what your age, no matter where you are and the status of your goal and your accomplishments. Believe that your learning is not fixed, right? You can continue to learn no matter what. So develop a passion, a fascination, strive to improve every day. Figure out how you fit into the bigger picture, what's the greater purpose, and then adopt that growth mindset.
Just hearing all those together, it's such a motivating or motivational message when you think of it. It's like, if you really can focus, if you can give a little of yourself every day, if you can believe that you can learn, you can keep learning no matter what, then you can get anywhere. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm already starting to think of just my brain, my wheels are turning with just my different areas of goals that I have and how I really can implement some of these things, because I felt kind of a little stagnant, or yes, it's my passion, but I feel like I suck at it, you know, that type of thing. So implementing these to kind of relight that fire.
Yeah. And I have my niece living with me, and this kind of helps me understand grit and quitting and how those two kind of play together, because she's trying out for the swim team in the future in high school. And there may be some days where she doesn't want to go to practice. Like, I want to quit. I don't think I like swimming. And after kind of reading through this research, my response to her is going to be, okay, it's okay if you quit, but not today. Why don't you get some distance from it? Let's think about it next week. And next week, let's talk about quitting. So I think not allowing her to make decisions about quitting in that moment when she's frustrated or tired or doesn't want to do something anymore because she's bored, whatever it may be, just kind of saying, yeah, not today. Let's talk about it next week. And then we can talk about when your wits are about you, when you're not maybe emotionally attached to quitting.
Yeah, so we need to tell ourselves that.
Yeah.
That's also a great example, because it's something I think about from time to time, because I tried everything, like you explained, and my parents let me quit everything. And then I got to high school and I wasn't good at anything in particular. And so I think about how I handle that with my kids. And so I love that sneaky piece of parenting advice.
Yeah. And there's something about not being able to quit something. And I get it. That there's some things you need to quit, right? But let's just say it's something that you're just tired of doing it, or you're bored, or it's just too hard. I think there's something to be learned and gained from sticking with something, even though it's hard. And I love that phrase. If it was easy, everyone would do it.
Right. Kind of giving yourself that permission. Like, okay, if you want to quit later, you can. But almost the opposite of that. Don't quit, right? Sometimes that mentality can be just over the top for us. Don't quit, right? Everything's peachy. But saying, you know, you can quit. Just come back to that thought.
Yeah. For me, it's like, what's the other shiny object thing that I could be doing over there? What's that? And then I'll quit and try that new thing.
And I've noticed that quitting is way more acceptable nowadays. It's as if like, oh, you can try it and then quit. And so I think this is really like a lesson that we all can kind of, like our generation can kind of learn from, is there is something to gain from sticking it out.
Yeah. Another issue that I thought about is, okay, grit is about having a passion and working really hard at it for a really long time to achieve that goal, right? But nowadays, it's if you work more than 8 hours, or if you're a kind of an overworked individual, you stay at work late, you show up at work early. What do you call those kind of people? A workaholic, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of got a negative connotation. So if I stay at work late, I might get some looks like, wow, Whip doesn't know how to control her work effort. She's, you know, doesn't have work-life balance. But how does that play into grit? If you have a passion about something, you know, I may think about that passion all day. I may think about how am I going to choreograph this group fitness class? And I may think about it while I'm taking yoga and I'm supposed to be in Savasana and I'm supposed to be not thinking, but I'm thinking about it, right? Or I'm thinking about it while I'm eating, or I'm thinking about it driving to work. And so how does that play into this need for high effort and our society's striving for work-life balance? So it's just something to think about.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think the lines get a little fuzzy when you talk about work-life balance. If you are so passionate about your work and you have purpose in your work.
Yeah. And many times when you have a gritty goal, and it's not something that's small, your gritty goal should be something that's a big, hairy, audacious goal. And I've heard it someone call it BHAG, right? Your gritty goal should be way up there, high bar. And in order to achieve it, it takes a lot of work. And I'm wondering how that effort impacts friends, family, because that's time away dedicated to achieving that goal. And I think it's important to consider how your effort towards that gritty goal can impact your quality of life. Maybe being smarter about how you work, being intentional about how you dedicate your time. But I definitely think that balancing work and life is important. But I also believe in achieving big goals. So I think it's something that will need to continue being balanced.
Yeah. And lots of open communication with the people that are closest to you.
Definitely. Yeah.
Right. Making them aware that it's not you. This is the reason why I'm distant, or, you know, this is why I need this time.
Yeah.
I love that.
I know.
I love that.
I'm so excited.
And it's in alignment with
what we talk about,
but also something that we both, at least I know me, like I need to work on. So
right. I'm like, it's a great, I'm like being kind of quiet because I'm like thinking and I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I love it because it's so me. Like I love putting everything I have into work, and I never knew how important my work and my purpose and that my work has meaning and purpose is to me. Until I didn't have that for, you know, a year. And now that I have it, I want to excel and achieve and do great things. But I also know that I need to have quality of life. I need to have my friend group with you all. I need to go hang out with Jenny when she says, hey, let's go get coffee or let's go do this thing, instead of me continuing to work on whatever I'm working on. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be important for me in working towards whatever goals I may have in the future, is remembering to live outside in the real world. Go do things.
It's good to have friends, too, that pull you out. You know, even when you forget, or when it just doesn't seem as much of a priority, those friends that, like, kind of force you. Jenny's a good example of that. She just kind of, like, pulls you out no matter what.
Yes, she does.
She's like, and I don't care what you have planned. We are dropping it all. And you're like, wait, okay.
And afterwards, that was a great idea.
Exactly.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on our episode today. I can't wait for everyone to listen to this, because I think there's a ton of takeaways for everyone, no matter what stage of life or whatever goal you have going on. I think everyone can learn from today's episode.
Well, thanks for having me, and get busy getting gritty.
Oh, yes.
I just made that up.
That's a great tagline. Maybe we'll make that part of the title or something. Now, is there a way that our listeners can contact you for questions or for feedback?
Sure. You can contact me at my Purdue email, and it's just mwhippple at purdue.edu.
Great. Well, once again, we're so happy to have you on.
Okay, thanks for having me. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.